Related to medium-term responses, building interim structures for peace, the functions and membership of peace committees.
This organization, what is this? Is it a non-governmental organization? And we said, no, it's not non-governmental. Because if you call it non-governmental, the membership of the peace committee, almost half of it are government, like from political, like a member of parliament and a minister, or the district security committee. So it's a sort of a quasi government, civil society, private sector, religious organization coming together, that is, it is not purely government, it's not purely non-governmental, it's not purely business, it's not purely religious, it's all. If a peace committee is only good at responding to the emerging conflicts alone, but does not look at the structural underlying issues, it's a problem. If it does very well in responding to the emerging conflict and does very well at looking at the underlying issues without informing and contributing to local and national policy, again, there is a problem. And then we realize that your administrative, financial, la 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 la, is a problem, then it pulls the organization down. And then that is 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we realize that if you are not having a training plan, the training plan is short-term workshops and long-term education, then, and the people who are running these programs leave the organization and there is no replacement, then again the organization comes down. And that was what was happening. Some people had already left, and then there was an institutional memory. And then the one that became trigger for all this was that continuous mobilization and decision making and public participation and public ownership of the process. If you don't inform, you can be an effective organization with all these, but the public don't know who you are. And the public don't feel they own this, the whatever, whatever. Then that's what triggered the institutional conflict.